There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
Was I ever that young? Hi, folks. It's me, Godzilla, here. Here on Mork Mac Marbles, or whatever this is, where they're doing a tribute to the greatest movie monster of all time. Me. I've been in this business since... What? What do you mean it's a tribute to all giant monsters? Are you shitting me? You fucking fucks! I'm the OG, the original Godzilla! I was the first! There was nobody before... What? Kong? Are you fucking kidding me? That Hollywood phony? Ooh, look at me. I did a movie with the Lord of the Rings guy. I'm too fancy to remember my old friends or lend them money. Kong! That damn ape didn't even destroy a city. What'd he do, knock around some cars and break some windows? I do that when I fart. And he's out there grabbing chicks left and right. I never did that. But I make one innocent, constructive comment to Mothra about how maybe she's let herself go a bit and has too much junk in the prothorax, and suddenly I'm the monster and the bad guy. Practically got blackballed for that. Screw this! I'm out of here! And I better get my tanker of scotch!
Godzilla, everybody.
Godzilla, everyone. welcome to another episode in our, oh no, a giant monster series. I'm your host, Max Jet Ocelot Levine, and over there, trying to get that stain our guest left on the upholstery out, is your host, Mike, a bird as big as a battleship loose. Sorry, Mike. I thought the big guy would be more civil.
Yeah, really? A giant monster, civil, and from New York,
he's supposed to be a professional. He's been in everything. My God, yeah, he's been around for...
From New York.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know that. Yeah, he's a transplant.
A Japanese monster. Before... That was so realistic. Yeah. I'm my head's still swimming at the realism of that... That performance.
As it should. Spared no expense. And this week's movie, which is technically a movie from our special guest, 2004's Godzilla Final Wars. But before we get to that...
Poll question.
Last week we asked you, what movie monster do you think is the most effective / scariest? Dr. Lauren said, I have to go for the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Mm. Ah, the clever girls. The ending scene of them being able to swim actually gave me nightmares. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the flying monkeys.
flying monkeys is funny.
As a side note, in her Russian class at Bryn Mawr College, yes, she's a legacy child from Texas, my daughter Samantha made a movie in a group project. It was done Blair Witch style in a haunted house. In Russian, of course.
Ah.
Yeah, because if there's one thing the Blair Witch Project was missing, it was Russian.
Or Moose and Squirrel.
I would think as a Russian movie, the Blair Witch Project would just sort of be a documentary. But anyway, thank you, Dr. Lauren.
Yes.
Dave says, the last time I remember being genuinely scared in a movie was when I saw Snow White as a small child. Might have been the first movie I ever saw in a theater. The witch was very scary. She was. Although, to me, the scary thing in that movie is the forest that she's running through.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, that freaked me out with it, because the trees, which may or may not be alive, brr. But thank you, Dave. Tyler Stewart as the demon from Smile, the Babadook, and Hill House from the original 1960 movie. You actually, oh, I think the one in Hill House you don't actually see.
Sometimes that's better.
That's probably why it's scarier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Babadook, but the reason I haven't seen The Babadook is because I've heard it's quite honestly too scary and I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. Same with Smile. That sounds friggin' awful. Mm. As in the good way. Nick Hoffman says, The Demon in Fantasia, Night on Bald Mountain, made a strong impression on me as a 5-year-old. Ah, Chernabog.
Yeah, you know
the
what?
The music helped, of course.
It, made a strong impression on me, too, but I don't think it was the same impression.
You like those abs, huh?
Hey, Chernabog was hot. I'm just saying.
Chernabog is... you never think of Chernabog being ripped, you know?
I recently found out... You know who modeled for that?
No.
Bela Lugosi.
What?
Now.
There is no way. What?
Yes, there are images of him. Now, to be fair, he's not built like that, but they got him to come in and do the gestures stuff, and the Disney animators used him as a model for Chernabog.
Okay, the body language I could kind of see. I could believe that. It's just, he don't look like that.
No.
Bela Lugosi was like, what, 120 pounds soaking wet, soaked in formaldehyde?
Yeah, but they were probably filming him back in 39, because I think Fantasia got released in 40, so this was still relatively young Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, but he was never exactly, anyway.
He hadn't quite gotten to, help me, Eddie, so.
Not quite. Also, Nick points out, Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
Conceptually, it's terrifying. Yes, it is. That where anybody can be a monster thing. Ugh. Benjamin Carl says, The Creature from A Quiet Place 1 and 2 is fantastic. I don't count 3. Okay, I don't know why. They do a nice job of exposing and exploiting the very noisy world we live in. That's another movie I never wanted to see because it looked too scary.
I guess the premise didn't really attract me, but I don't know if we actually saw the monster. I guess we do, but maybe we don't.
I'm not sure. Regan McStravick says, The girl who climbed out of the television in The Ring scared the out of me. Until that point, I was kind of bored with the movie, but then wham, I'm not sleeping for a week. Right there with you, Regan. Most of the movie, I'm like, this is supposed to be scary. This is supposed to be, oh, jeez.
The preview was enough to make me go, nope.
Fun fact, as a child, the scariest thing ever was the Morlocks in The Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the hat people in H.R. Puff and stuff kind of freaked me out, too. So, now, wait. There were some hat people, I think, in H.R. Puff and stuff, but do you think he means Lidsville?
I am sure he means Lidsville.
They are the cuckoo kookiest.
Yes, yes, they are. Thank you, Butch Patrick, for teaching us to love again.
And Charles Nelson Reilly. Yep. Oh, Lord.
Charles Nelson Reilly for teaching us to never love again.
Dr. Professor Rebecca Pelkey says, I was always way more freaked out by the things that never actually showed on screen. Ooh, yeah. Mm. I'm not sure if paranormal entities qualify as monsters, but those were the ones that kept me up at night. Poltergeist, which I saw way too young. Oh, geez.
Hey, at least you didn't star in it.
Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity. Yeah, no, those things are... Yeah, the things you don't see, those really are friggin' scary.
Mm.
Keith Wright. Right, rights. The aliens from the Aliens franchise. Mm. Brilliant design and relentless predators. Yeah. Because before that, we'd never seen anything that looked like that.
No. Apparently, you're okay if you're a cat.
Yes. The cats, they won't kill cats. It's very nice.
Dogs, no. Cats, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And of course, from where giant monsters roam to this very day, the frozen wastes of Canada. It's true, they have giant monsters, they're just very polite. Vince is hard to be more effective than Godzilla. Well, I'm sure our guest would agree. It is powerful and keeps changing and adapting over the decades. It can be silly or terrifying. I do think Geiger's Alien is a contender, despite the farther you go into the franchise, the more watered down it gets. Mm. Ooh, ain't that the case.
Yeah.
Even in the worst Alien films, if you ever saw it coming for you, you would freak the F out. See how polite these Canadians are? He actually wrote the F out. In the film Aliens, when the alien queen was coming in the elevator and the ship to save them was nowhere to be seen, the audience started screaming, Kill yourselves before it gets you!
And did they?
Totally understood that.
Yep.
Jaws has a shot as most effective in that after one movie, it permanently scarred generations of people and is still keeping them out of the water to this day.
Yeah.
Very good points, all of them.
Especially
Vince.
In Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Where Amity Island's a real thing. Yeah.
More or less. Even if it was filmed in Cabot Cove, but yeah, never mind.
Well, then the shark would have had no chance against Jessica Fletcher.
It's dead.
And from our hotline, and speaking of hot.
Here it comes.
Here's my little cabbage flower, Doris Hempelmeyer.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Hempelmeyer with an answer to your question, what do you think is the most effective movie monster? I'm going to go with an unusual one because it just came to my head and I wanted to tell you this before I forgot. I'm going to go with the id in Forbidden Planet because I think that's a really cool one and it just kind of shows the danger of men's minds. And when I say men, I mean like you man. So that's my answer. I hope you like it. I know I like you, especially you, Max. And I look forward to hearing this week's episode and next week's episode, too. Bye.
Huh. Ooh, the id. That's another one we don't really see. And honestly, it's a lot scarier before we see it sort of animated at the end.
Id. I don't know. I love the sound it makes and the utter fury it seems to have. Forbidden Planet will always remain one of my favorite science fiction films because how they got it made, a story that's actually pretty deep, makes you think, and uses words like id in the 1950s is insane. But
yeah,
and you know who animated that? There was Disney animators that animated the id monster.
Oh, I think I knew that, but if I did, it was because you told me.
Ah.
Yeah, but thank you, Doris, my little sugar plum.
Yeah.
Hey, we have another voicemail. This is from Dr. Lauren.
Oh.
Yeah, that's odd. She actually answered the question already. Oh, let's hear.
I have already answered the poll question on Facebook, but I wanted to call to give Doris a bit of competition in her pursuit of Max. Alas, we are unable to keep our date for this weekend. But I look forward to the next time.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Let's move on quickly, please. So, Mike.
You caused this.
This is... it's my damn animal magnetism. Yes. It's a curse, I tell you.
Yeah, it's a curse, all right.
What about you? What do you think is the most effective / scary movie monster?
I don't know if this is going to count as a monster, but I think the one that I feel most threatened by is whatever you want to call it from the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Because...
The aliens, pods.
Yeah, well, we never see what the updated version with Donald Sutherland, we see this sort of water droplet with like little tendrils that come out to give us a vague idea of what they kind of sort of start looking like. But the problem is, like, you're safe until you go to sleep. And then it's too late.
Yeah,
it's like you really have they never come up with a defense against it. At the very end of that film, it's just Donald Sutherland going, and it's like, are they microscopic? I don't know, but they replace you and you're gone.
That's the thing. Again, the whole idea that the monster can be anybody, that is terrifying.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. For me, it's innocent things corrupted, like toys. What always freak me out are like evil dolls or stuffed animals that kill people.
Oh, so Toy Story, that's your monster movie.
Yeah, oh my God, that Hellspawn. I couldn't sleep for a week. I can't believe they take children to see that nightmare.
How are you with clowns?
I'm all right with clowns.
Yeah, I don't hate them. I just don't find them amusing. No.
It depends. I found some amusing. I don't have the visceral terror that a lot of people have about clowns. Clowns scare a lot of people, and I get it.
Yeah.
They look demonic.
I will say, I did see one clown that I really liked, and that was Grandma from the Big Apple Circus.
Yes.
Grandma was
really
Grandma's funny.
Terrific.
Yeah, but another of our poll questions down and some great answers from people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
I'm not sure about that. Those two messages, though, but yeah.
Oh,
well, I'm feeling a little left out, Max. I don't have any fans.
Well, you just got to let that charisma shine through, Mike.
What charisma?
I wasn't going to say anything, but maybe you can order someone. Send in enough box tops from Bumpy Pucks and get yourself some charisma.
And don't forget to use your Bumpy Bucks to buy some.
Yep.
So, but yeah, another question.
We want more. This one, I'm afraid this may be a little too narrow, but I'm going to try it. Who or what is the most fun kaiju for you?
Oh.
Giant Japanese monster. You know, what's not necessarily your favorite, but what is the one you just look on screen and you just thought, oh, God, that's great. Or, oh, my God, that's so silly.
So it has to be Japanese.
No, any giant monster.
Oh, you did
anything
say
that
Japanese.
Fits the kaiju.
Okay.
Yep.
What you think is the most fun.
That's what the word kaiju is from. The most fun.
Okay.
The one you just enjoy the most. And we'll be back to tell you about that later. How to answer. Or there are ways.
And means.
But now... facts. Budget. This very movie was given a longer production time and a budget twice as big as the previous highest Godzilla film budget, and this was $19.5 million.
Wait, that's what this budget was, or that was the...
That's what this budget was. That is twice the highest.
Wow.
To give you an idea.
Apparently rubber's cheap. Oops.
It took in... $9.1 million.
Oops.
The film crashed and burned at the box office, which went with one of the worst ticket sales for any Godzilla film ever, losing a fortune for Toho. To make it even worse, even the toys didn't sell.
Oops. Huh. Interesting. I guess you never know.
On November 29th in 2004... the same day that Godzilla got his highly publicized star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame,
okay,
this film had its world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater. This is the first time a Japanese-made Godzilla film made its premiere outside of Japan. It didn't debut there until December 4th.
I see.
Mm-hmm. This is the last and third in the Godzilla series called the Millennium series. There are a bunch of weirdly named series, which real Godzilla fans know and I don't, which started in 1999 with Godzilla 2000.
Okay.
In 1999, you figure that out. Toho also widely reported this would be the last Godzilla film for at least a decade because of the weak box office performances of the previous two films.
Oh.
This turned out to be true because the next one was the American-made Godzilla in 2014, 10 years later.
Huh. Was that really 11 years
ago?
Wow.
Yeah.
I liked
believe
that
it or
movie.
Not. Really? The American-made Godzilla? Oh, okay. Yeah. The one with...
not the one with Matthew Broderick.
See, that's where I know. That was like 19... That was earlier.
Yeah. 99.
Veteran actor Akira Takarada makes his sixth appearance in a Godzilla film playing UN Secretary General Naotaro Daigo.
I knew it was
his
him.
His first was in you could tell, right? His first appearance was in the original 1954 Godzilla, in which he played your favorite character, Hideto Ogata, when he was 19.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, sure I really liked him.
Yeah. Yep. He's also... I have no idea.
No.
He's also in Mothra vs. Godzilla, Invasion of Astro Monster, Ebira, Horror of the Deep, and Godzilla vs. Mothra. Yes, there is a Mothra versus Godzilla and Godzilla versus Mothra. Two different movies.
Yeah. I think there's also just a Mothra, just on its own.
Oh, yeah.
Her own. Sorry.
Mothra. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get back to the Peanuts, which they're not the Peanuts in this, but whatever.
This is the first time that Mothra fought on Godzilla's side since Destroy All Monsters in 1968.
Mm.
Although they both faced the same enemies rather than being allied with each other. Despite the American-made Godzilla King of the Monsters in 2019, reimagining the two monsters as supportive allies, Mothra and Godzilla have traditionally been bitter enemies, would only work together by force. But the sex is unbelievable.
I do not want to see what comes from that. That's, no. Okay.
In one scene, Godzilla takes on Anguirus, Rodan, and King Caesar at once. I'd never heard of King Caesar, of the salad fame. These three monsters were allies of Godzilla in the Showa era. That's 1954 to 1975.
Ah.
Rodan, Anguilas, and King Caesar were the only monsters that Godzilla didn't kill. This was due to the fact that at various times they were allies. In fact, Anguilas is considered to be Godzilla's best friend.
Yeah, we'll come back to Anguilas.
Okay. The music in this movie is striking.
Is it?
The director, Ryuhei Kitamura, and the Toho Company hired veteran British music artist Keith Emerson. If that name is familiar, add Lake and Palmer after it.
Must we?
Yeah. No. To provide, they made the film score and tracks from popular North American punk groups like Sum 41 and Zebrahead.
Ah.
I know both of those groups. They were a thing.
Were they?
Sum 41's song We Are to Blame will be used, and Zebrahead provides an instrumental rock piece, Godzilla vs. Tokyo. This is, again, the first time in a Japanese-produced Godzilla film, in the original Japanese version, where they had popular music artists from outside Japan contributing to the soundtrack.
Far outside Japan.
Very, very far. The film, and I did not catch this at all, the film makes a reference to Gamera, the giant turtle monster from the competing film series, when a child playing with monster toys yells, "You loser!" at a turtle doll and throws it into the fireplace.
Yeah. I totally missed that.
Wow. I did too.
The kid, that was that annoying American kid with chocolate all over his face.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was a base. I have him listed as Augustus Gloop, but I'm pretty sure that's not who he was.
Sure, he was. Why not?
The two operatives at Antarctic Area G Base, only one of whom has a name, we'll get to them later.
Will we?
Are listening to a record that's playing the battle music from Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
That's a deeper.
Zilla,
yeah.
The monster that appears in Sydney and loses to Godzilla in a very short battle, was a direct parody of the American Godzilla from the Sony TriStar film in 1988.
Yay.
However, despite a very persistent misconception, those two monsters are legally not the same. Although the two are virtually the same, the 1998 movie's monster is still officially called Godzilla, while Zilla is a separate character. The name came about because, according to former series producer Shogo Tomiyama, the 98 movie, quote, took the god out of Godzilla to his portrayal of the monster.
Sure.
Okay, whatever. Despite being one of Toho's most popular monsters, Mechagodzilla did not appear in this film.
He was not alone.
He had been the focus of two immediately preceding films, 2002 and 2003.
There's at least two more.
This is the first Japanese Godzilla movie ever to get a PG-13 rating in America. And I kind of understand that because a couple of the monster deaths are a lot more gruesome than they usually are.
I guess.
Gigan gets his head ripped off.
Yeah.
The giant mantis gets impaled. I mean, you actually see that.
Yeah, but Gwiron literally slices up Gauss with his knife head in a Gamera film. That didn't get PG-13. Mm-hmm. Cripes.
Yeah, well.
It's not like there's any blood on monsters, the humans.
No, of course not. Though monsters like Manda, Rodan, Kamakuras, and Kumanga were brought to life through a combination of traditional suit effects and CGI, Zilla was the only monster to be fully computer-generated.
And so well, too.
Oh, yeah. Not only was this the final film of the Millennium Era, it's also the last time that the suitmation technique was used. That is what it is called.
Suitmation. Yeah. Okay.
All the films in Legendary's MonsterVerse films, as well as Shin Godzilla, would use CGI effects.
Yeah.
The director, Kitamura, has admitted he's unhappy with how Toho edited the film, as they felt it was running too long. It's already over 2 hours, so trimmed and removed numerous scenes, which some of which you can see in the end credits.
Wait, what?
But he felt this ended up hurting the film in the long run.
It used to be longer?
It was longer and more developed stories, yeah.
Huh?
There's other stuff. There's plenty of other stuff, but mostly it's like Godzilla trivia. Mike, do you have anything?
There are actually two other giant monsters that have appeared with Godzilla in other, specifically Godzilla films, mm-hmm. being Destroy All Monsters, that do not make an appearance here. One of them is Megalon, which means that we don't get Jet Jaguar either, but there is no Megalon.
I was bummed we did not get Jet Jaguar.
We also don't get Rex Dart Eskimo Spy. But there's another monster called Varan, the Unbelievable, who I think, I don't know this for sure, but at least in the American release Godzilla films, only appeared in the background of a group shot of monsters on Monsters Island in Destroy All Monsters. And I think looking at it, you can tell one of the reasons he's only in the background, they only had the one suit and it it hadn't aged well. But yeah, I actually did forget about Mechagodzilla. There was another monster. I'm like, wow, you're leaving out X. And it turns out no X is there. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that, though. But that's as far as trivia, I guess, goes. That's all Oh, boy. I have so rarely looked forward to a plot synopsis like I have this week's. Max, would you please condense the plot of Godzilla Final Wars for our listeners?
Yes, I will. It's a Godzilla movie. Monster meets city. Monster crushes city. Monster meets another city. Okay, this one is set in the not-too-distant future. Technically, it's 2044, if you're interested.
Oh.
And Godzilla spends almost the entire first half of the movie frozen in carbonite or something, while the world now has to deal with every other monster in the Toho Gallery running amok. Or walking amok when they're tired.
Or falling amok.
But now, they've got mutants. Good-looking Japanese young people from all walks of life, but no specific powers, but great hair. Mm. When suddenly, aliens! Of course. Because why not? Yes, friendly aliens show up to get rid of the monsters. But in a Shyamalan-esque twist, the aliens are not friendly. No, they're evil and want to raise us as cattle and eat our midichlorians for some reason. So, all right, mitochondria, but it's midichlorians. So Godzilla has to be unfrozen so he can fight Anguilus, Gigan, Porkchopulus, Sphincterus, Hamonrius, and...
Spanus?
Doc. Oh. Big fight, lots of kung fu, zap, boom. Oh, and Godzilla Jr. is here too, because why not? And the day is saved, sort of, because half the world's been blown up or stepped on. But yay? There you go. Happy?
The film.
I'm getting a golf clap. How nice.
So, Max, I think I know the answer to this question. Had you seen this before?
Yes, I had. I did not see it when it came out. But I saw it years later in The Brattle.
You weren't at the premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
I was so close, but I thought I had to go and help out Ed Wood move some furniture.
Although he had died 30 years previously.
Well, that's why he needed help, okay? He can't lift much. He's dead. What about you? Had you seen it?
No. No, I've seen...
You'd never seen this,
I've never seen this. If you'd asked me to... name the title, I don't even think I'd heard. You know, I might have heard of it when it came out, but Godzilla at that point was sort of a childhood thing for me. It was something I watched on Creature Double Feature. And quite honestly, for the most part, Godzilla was something that was better remembered than experienced. Because quite honestly, the plots in those films tended to drag. It's like, we just want to see the two sweaty guys in the rubber suits fight. Can we just get to that, please? And I had better memories of Godzilla than actually in watching Godzilla. So I had stopped watching them at that, especially after that 1998 debacle. That was so bad. Mm-hmm. So no, I had never seen this, but.
You're welcome.
We have a cast. How do you want to do this? I can think of...
Well, I would like to first point out that Captain Douglas Gordon is not played by Jesse the Body Ventura, who I really thought he was the first time I saw this.
Hey, that was one of my notes.
Yeah.
Actually, I said not Jesse Ventura, but an incredible simulation.
Yeah, he is in fact Don Fry, a former pro boxer and mixed martial artist and firefighter.
Which I can totally
notice
believe.
I didn't say actor.
He does have some of the best lines in the film, though.
Yeah, they don't make a lot of sense, but he has plenty of
honestly
awesome
looks like
lines.
Mario and Luigi's swole older brother.
Yeah, he looks like Mario and he looks like one of the Plumber brothers who got really into steroids.
Yeah.
And his mustache is awe-inspiring.
Well,
his mustache is like a whole other person stuck to his upper lip.
Yeah. So what did you think of John Fry in this movie?
He was very, you can see he was very much the American.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go hit things. But for some reason, I'm the only one who carries a sword.
Yeah. And he carries a Japanese sword at that, but okay.
Why he's carrying a sword, I don't know, but he does. Because, yeah. Which is good because the aliens are largely immune to guns, but can be stabbed.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that.
Sure.
Then, quite honestly, there's a bunch of Japanese people.
Yeah, then there's a bunch of guys. I think Akira Takarada, excuse me, the Secretary General, he is oddly funny in a very weird way.
It's, well,
the whole thing with his... Well, I miss my dog, Clint, so much.
Clinto. He also has one of my favorite lines in the film, where they basically just get to a point where they're like, yeah, whatever. So he gets replaced by the alien, so there's an exact duplicate, and that's one of the ways they, quote-unquote, out him, is they introduce him to his dog, which turns out it's not his dog, mm-hmm. and he forgets the dog until suddenly he remembers the dog, and then it's made clear that that is not your dog. But dog. At the end of the film, they kill that guy. He was the UN Secretary General.
Yeah.
They kill that alien, which is where basically the sheet comes off, and we go, oh, they're not good guys. But at the end of the film, he shows up again, and his line is, I managed to escape somehow. That is.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, they used to call me Mr. Bullseye in military college.
No, because it was just like, we're not even going to try. We are not going to go into any reason why they kept me alive, that I was here, that I found you guys, how I overpowered anybody. Nope, I managed to escape somehow.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, the reason I say it's a bunch of Japanese people is quite honestly, we don't know the language well enough to really comment on their acting. And this style of acting, if you want to call it, you know, kaiju type acting or superhero type acting, is they're probably doing it very well. It's just there's not a lot of depth here.
Well, their job is to not distract from the guys in the rubber suit, and they do a very good job of that.
Well, except
we do also have our
we do. There's a lot of wire foo fights, and they tend to go on for a long time. And there is this thing in Japanese wire foo fights where no one actually gets hurt; somebody just eventually like loses, or you know, for some reason. And that's an important moment. This happens over and over again. I've seen it in tokusatsu shows. I've seen it in Godzilla. But dear gods, I don't think I've ever seen it quite so much in this one, where good-looking A meets good-looking B, and you know one of them is slightly better-looking, and therefore they're probably the evil one, and whatever. But yeah.
I have better hair. Fear me. Yeah. We have the two guys, Ozaki and I believe it's Kumasaka. Kumasaka's the commander.
Kazaka?
Kazama.
Kazama.
Yeah, Kazama and Ozaki. Ozaki is really the bad guy. I mean, the good guy.
Yeah.
Kazama, he's kind of the bad boy. He's the one who eventually sacrifices himself in a move very reminiscent of another movie.
Well,
we're going to talk about that, too.
Yes,
this whole movie is very reminiscent of about 12 others.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of the two of them fighting, and at one point in my notes, I think it's Kazama says to Ozaki, "You're too soft," and I have written, "and supple, just kiss already."
I know, right?
Those two have, I think, the most romantic chemistry in the whole movie.
Yeah, because Godzilla's pretty testy in this one. I have a question for you, though, about Ozaki.
Yeah.
Do you think they chose him for a specific reason?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I think he bears more than a passing resemblance to Keanu Reeves.
Oh, it might be, because believe me, there's a lot of Matrix stuff in here, too.
Wait, what?
Everybody, all the aliens are wearing black vinyl trench coats. And
well, we'll get back to the aliens, because that's actually not the reference you're thinking it is. I mean, it's not that it isn't Matrix, but it's actually another Godzilla reference. We'll get back to that. But
okay.
I honestly kept looking at Ozaki's face going, he looks kind of like Keanu Reeves. I have this feeling. I have this feeling, but, you know.
The guy who plays Kazama is a guy named Kane Kusugi.
Yeah.
And that is the son of Sho Kusugi.
Oh!
We know from The Master and many, many martial arts movies.
And he's good-looking. Yep.
And he is a good-looking Japanese man from all walks of life.
And has great hair.
He has amazing hair. That's how, you know, at one point, Ozaki is supposed to be targeting something manually in the Star Blazer ship and takes off his helmet. And all I could think was, my hair must be on display for manual targeting.
Yeah. So,
I mean, come on. That thing was, that was the Yamato, basically. It has the miracle drill on the front.
The drill ship goes back in Godzilla and Toho history. It's been around before. I don't remember the name of the movie, but that is a callback ship before the Yamato. So, or at least, I'm sorry, before the Star Blazer / Space Cruiser Yamato ship.
Well, there's a bunch of the costumes of the aliens, the Zillions or Exzillions, as they're pronounced both ways.
Sure.
The glasses, isn't that a callback to Destroy All Monsters?
Yes. So, and the controller, the main evil, well, he's not evil at first, alien guy, is very much visually supposed to be the punk glass-wearing alien from, not Destroy All Monsters, Monster Zero.
Oh, okay.
Which is my favorite Godzilla film. And the plot for Monster Zero is, how to put this, hauntingly familiar when watching this film. Because basically, and that one has Nick
Adams. It's a tribute.
Well, it kind of is, because in that film we have an American actor, Nick Adams, who was not busy doing B-grade science fiction films in the States. And he was an astronaut, and they go to Planet X, where it turns out the aliens need our help because they're having monster problems. So they want permission to come to Earth to gather up the monsters to go fight Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. And we basically say, okay, but it turns out that's not what they're up to. They're actually going to control the monsters, bring them back, cause terror so they can take our water. So, but they are controlling
the bodily fluids.
They're luckily not our water, but like Lake Myojin, is where Godzilla sometimes sleeps. So this film, I don't know if it's meant to be a sequel, like, oh, we forgot this happened 30 years ago, or it's supposed to be a remake kind of Monster Zero, but it kind of is, including the eventual surprise. Oh, spoiler, the eventual surprise appearance by Ghidorah at the end of the film, which was their main dude back in Monster
Zero. That kind of threw me, the way Ghidorah shows up in this movie. He shows up as this weird robot thing, I'm looking at him going, am I supposed to know who that is?
Well, it was sort of a Cerberus thing, because it was kind of a big robot dog three-headed thing. And I was like, oh, they're not going to... That's not going to... Oh, yes, it is. It's going to turn into Ghidorah for no particularly good reason. Okay.
you could tell everyone's supposed to applaud at that point.
Well, and I knew... So Spiga's the giant spider. What else do we have? King Caesar, I forget which one he was in. He's this big temple dog thing. And they even do this bit where his ears
pop. The floppy ears?
Yeah. I think he's supposed to be a lion dog. I think that's what he is, or what he was supposed to be.
He's the one who bicycle kicks Godzilla.
We get Ibora, which is not the same as Ibora. Ibora is the Japanese name for the smog monster. Ibora is the giant lobster thing.
Okay.
Which also gives us one of the dumbest quotes in the film. They kill Ibora.
Makes no sense.
And the big guy just says, sorry, I'm vegetarian. What?
It's like, so you should have not wanted to hurt the lobster.
Whatever.
Yeah, the so-called quips in this really don't work.
We're
going to fry that lobster, I have in my notes. Yeah, boiling gets you a better result.
Well, and the aliens at one point say, we need you to increase in numbers. You literally just killed millions of us. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Or one of my favorites from good old Don Fry, "Hey, kid, there's two things you don't know about the Earth, me and Godzilla." So, yeah, I managed to escape somehow. So
I still like, I guess you'd call them aliens, as opposed to what?
Well, quite honestly, Japanese, because that's what they are.
Okay.
Except if you kill them, they turn into actorless rubber suits, because whatever, sure. And how you kill them.
Odd moments in it.
Well, how you kill them changes. Like you said, oh, we shot that one, it died. Oh, we shoot this one, it doesn't die, it gets up, and you have to stab it with a sword, because I guess it's symbolic. I don't know. So are we done with the
and
cast?
Of course, when the...
Or are you still doing...
Yeah, I think we're done with the... No, we're done with the cast.
They're fine.
They're fine. They do what they're supposed to do.
Sure.
Oh, Godzilla! There you go.
And then we fight, and we have that meaningful look, and we don't screw, but we really wish you would.
Yep.
I love their little armor, their little plastic armor that's like, well, this will cover a nipple. Just shoot me right here. And when, by the way, it's made of a plastic lunch tray.
I also do love when the secondary, whatever, I guess he's Gigan, the one with the... There's one that fights Godzilla at the end. He's got chainsaws for hands.
He
fires...
They had upgraded him, remember? Because Godzilla killed him. So they basically made new Gigan. And
that's Gigan 2.0. I wondered about that. And he not only has chainsaws for hands. I kept waiting for him to go, "Hail to the king, baby." But he fires buzzsaw blades out of his nipples.
Which are surprisingly
like
effective.
You do.
Yeah, yeah. Gigan was a pain in the backside, quite honestly. He was one of the monsters that Godzilla had the most trouble with in the old films. And he has a giant saw blade in his torso. So it's not like, oh, there's spines and if you get close, they put... No! It actually is like a buzzsaw and it spins. And he's got a laser beam in his eyes, because of course he does. And he's got hook blade hands, because of course he does. And did he fly? I think he did fly, because of course he does.
He did.
He was literally my monster's got all these cool things and it can totally beat up your monster.
There are so many monsters in this and in all the Godzilla movies that look like it was an 8-year-old trying to describe their monster. He's got a head like a big knife and he shoots throwing stars out of his ears. And
well, now that's Gamera.
I'm describing Gueron
Yeah, well, Manda is the big dragon-looking thing. Spiga, the thing is, I never seen the films with Spiga and Manda and those and King Caesar in them. I think that I only know him from Destroy All Monsters. But I gotta say, when they all first show up, I have never seen Godzilla wade through monsters more quickly ever.
He has so little trouble with almost all of them.
Yeah,
it's like slap, slap down. Oh, and we got to talk about who else shows up in this. Mila, a.k.a. Godzuki, a.k.a. Godzilla Jr.
It's Minia.
Or
which Minia, I never realized.
The subtitle says Mila.
No, it says M-I-N-I-L-L-A. It's Minia, but they're using the double L for Y. Yeah, I never figured out what Minia was supposed to be until I saw it written out, and it's like, oh, dear gods, it's a compound word of Mini Godzilla.
Oh, Lord.
Exactly.
Really?
Now, Minia shows up because...
Because the audience would recognize him, right? He even does the blowing the smoke rings thing.
Well, he literally just showed... We cut to a scene of this crazy old farmer from the 18th century and his grandson. and his grandson has Minia with him. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where did he... Is there... Hi. Where's the other Godzilla? Where's the parent?
This comes to almost nothing except that everything is over and it looks like Godzilla's going to attack people... Minya steps up and goes, "No, Daddy, don't. We must not fight anymore."
It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me.
Exactly.
Run, Minya, run.
There's a deeper to the 70s.
Yeah, but the thing is that the Minya gets his cue from the kid, the little kid, who they literally throw in at the end because, oh, that's right, Godzilla kid, friend of all children, Gamera, Blue Meanies. And the kid actually protects Minya because his grandfather suddenly decides his I don't know, his Daisy rifle that he got with box tops is going to, because Minya at this point has grown to, I don't know, 20 feet tall, whatever. And so his grandpa's going to shoot Minya because whatever. And the little kid stands in front of this 20-foot monster to protect it. And it's goes, like, basically,
you know, grandpa could just aim over your head, right?
Grandpa couldn't help but miss you. So he protects Minya, and Minya then gets the clue from the kid, oh, not all humans are bad. I should protect them against my dad, who I haven't met before, I guess. And Godzilla, who's been, I gotta say, for most of the Godzilla films, Godzilla, he gets uptight and, you know, I gotta deal with these monsters. But Godzilla is pissed in this film. He is so angry.
He's in a bad mood.
And Minya shows up. To the best of our knowledge, Godzilla's never met this kid before. No. Like, oh, yeah, I did sleep with that girl once. Are you from her?
And he's like, Mothra, do you have something to tell me?
And he's like, okay, I'm not pissed anymore. And he turns around and leaves, and that's the end of the film. I didn't understand. I think they literally were just throwing everything in that they possibly could. Because, of course, not only do we get Mothra... apparently their names are the fairies, twin fairies. We get the fairies.
Yeah.
Which
is it was not played by the Peanuts, which was very disappointing.
The two little women,
they're dead.
The two little women who sing the Mothra song. And
they didn't sing.
No. And they also have never explained why they're tiny little people. They just
And then they give them the magic MacGuffin talisman, or as I called it, Chekhov's talisman, in the first, 20 minutes of the movie, and we don't see it until the very end when it breaks the mind control over Ozaki?
Because there's this subplot about the fact that there was Gigan 12 million years ago, and he's frozen, and they find him, and it's like, oh, wow, hey, guess what? These mutants that have suddenly showed up for no reason at all, they have some of the same midichlorians as this old monster does. You think there's a connection? And then the aliens show up who apparently knew all about this thing, and apparently they were unsuccessful 12 million years ago or something. I don't know.
Something.
But now the mutants have the same thing, and they control the mutants, too. And I knew the mutants were going to go bad as soon as I saw them. But our
except, of course, Ozaki, because Ozaki is a Kaiser role.
I'm waiting to find out.
They say Kaiser.
I'm waiting to find
out. Which is basically.
Kaiju and something else. I bet those are two words shoved together. Because
I wouldn't be surprised.
Kaiser's so
because it turns out that actually he's the one. He is the Kung Fu Panda.
See,
he's a wizard, Harry.
Well, so Mothra, the Mothra fairies, give him the pendant of Mothraism, which they basically say, you will know how to use this and you can use it as you choose. And he takes it and it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. So what does he do? The first chance he gets it to his girlfriend, who then later on, does it somehow help him overcome the mind control? No, not until she stabs him with it. so it makes sense.
Yeah. I do want to speak quickly about the number of movies that are referenced in this movie.
Do you have a list?
Good God. I mean, it's easier to pick out the movies that weren't ripped off. I mean, we already talked about The Matrix, this Independence Day the big sacrifice. Quite honestly, when I saw the force field over the mothership, which, by the way, looks like the logo for the Klingon Empire out of Star Trek, all I could think was Ming the Merciless's lightning shield in the movie Flash Gordon.
I didn't think of that one.
what else? What else did you see?
Well, just again, because this is a callback to Monster Zero, which, I really like, mostly because it's so dumb. But it's got some decent fights in it, and Ghidra. Yeah, but I thought actually visually a little bit Matrix, and again, I think that one actor, Ozaki, is meant to look like Keanu Reeves. But there's a lot more ID4 than anything else in this. I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's also just a lot of... both Japanese monster movie and Japanese anime conventions. I mean, there is a point where the two leads are fighting on motorcycles.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is, oh no, we've walked into a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode.
And
when they're fighting, I think it's the giant lobster. All I kept waiting to hear was, go, go, Power Rangers! Because they were just missing a gravel pit, and it was a Sentai show.
I liked it when they killed the first alien, the one that was pretending to be the Secretary UN General. The quip is, well, now we've got a nice souvenir. And there's this, I don't think science has taken a worse beating since, I'm going to have to go with Moonfall.
Yeah. Oh.
Science in this is just, it's not even a word. It's just don't. But, you know.
I also like, all our forces have been wiped out. Up to now, we've been lucky. Like, that's a weird definition of lucky, dude.
Well, bad luck is a kind of luck. So, yeah. I also think, too, that we have a preponderance of the everything must be blue in this film. This film is very, very blue. And I don't know if we ever found out if it's because partially it's easier to do special effects that way or something, but dear gods, knock it off.
I still think that was another thing from The Matrix. When they're fighting on the highway, it's right out of the second Matrix movie, including the way that everything's washed out and over-blued.
Yeah. I mean, that was, to be fair, the whole washing out thing actually, if I remember correctly, started with Lord of the Rings. And they did it for a specific reason. They did a lot of the underground stuff as washed out to give it a colder feel, but it really just got overused way too fast. Something else to get overused is the camera movement. Please stop strapping cameras to monkeys and then making your movie.
And giving them crack.
Oh my God, it never stops moving. Never, never.
No.
Especially during the wireframe scenes.
I couldn't help it when, at the end, when Godzilla throws Ghidorah into orbit and you see him flash, all I could think of, Team Ghidorah blasting off again from Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all. I will say I was happy to see Tohoscope, because I missed Tohoscope.
Tohoscope. A classic. A classic.
What else you got before we get to that end part, Max?
There's so much bad. But I mean, yes, I do like another scene where, to demonstrate their power, one of the aliens takes Captain Gordon's hat. Now there's a power move for you.
Doesn't put it on.
You have no idea of our power. One of them says,
Doesn't put it
on. He's Captain Mustache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, she just takes it from him.
All my power. Apparently, that's a. Well, Max, it's an obvious accessible focus. That's what it is.
Ah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, I think that's all I've got. How about you?
Oh, yes. I think we should get to that thrilling conclusion.
The finish.
So, Max, you'd seen it before. Yeah. And you made us watch it again. What do you think?
I don't know what was wrong with me.
What do you think of Godzilla final?
I remembered it being funny as hell, and it still is.
So
I gotta say, this movie just cracks me up.
Is this a recommendation?
If you take it seriously, then no. But it is. This would be a movie to watch while under the influence of something.
Like, geez.
Because it moves along. There's a lot of things happening. You don't really have to pay attention to any of it because none of it means anything. It's so silly. It doesn't make any sense. The plot's ludicrous. The special effects are pretty terrible. Even though it had $19 million.
That wouldn't even buy you credits in Hollywood.
Nope.
What did you think of the suitmation? How was the suitmation in this?
I thought that was classic Godzilla stuff. You know, it's not impressive.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun, and it's got such a history to it. And I have so much respect for the guys in there. Some of those Godzilla suits weighed over 100 kilos.
Yeah.
That's over 200 pounds in real measurements.
Yeah. And
the guy has to fling himself around in them and pick things up. A big shout out to the guys in the suits. You guys are heroes.
Which brings me back to one of the monsters I want to discuss, and that's Anguilus. In the old films with Anguilus, I think his original film was Anguilus the Fire Monster.
He's the one who looks kind of like an ankylosaur, right?
He's got all the spikes on his back. He's sort of like a reptilian porcupine thing. He rolls up
into like a big pine cone and rolls at attack.
One of the issues with the suit for Anguilus in the past was it was painfully obvious it was a guy kneeling on the floor in a suit because the back legs are just bent knees. And the toys for them, they didn't try to fix that. They didn't try to make the toys look cooler or like, well, no, his legs are should really be like this. They literally just, it's like, yeah, it's a guy's legs. And he's kneeling and it's, you know, it's a guy on his all fours. That's what he's doing. This film, they're like, yeah, well, we're taking this way more seriously. We're not going to show you the back end of a gungulus so that you can't see the knees. And they never do. You never see the back legs of a gungulus.
That's true. I did not notice that, but you're right.
Yeah. So you think this is fun and you would recommend it for people, especially
if you're in a mood for a dumb, bad monster movie and that just turn your brain off. Sure. What about you? Do you think, would you recommend it just for fun?
Sure.
Or honestly, for a Godzilla completist?
Honestly, it was so dumb, but you know what?
Yep.
Except for later on, like after this point and maybe the first Godzilla film, when has Godzilla not been dumb? It's guys in rubber suits wrestling over somebody's train set. I mean, it is literally...
Special effects by Billy.
It's literally a kid with two action figures mashing them together and making monster noises.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And the best part, in a way, is the acting, because there's this thing in Japanese monster movies and tokusatsu shows and whatever, where they take it so seriously. Every character is so serious. They have been eating cheese for a week. That's how serious these people are.
They are Charlton Hestoning all over the place. Yep.
And they have to be to sell these ridiculous concepts, most of which initially don't make any sense, and then later they don't even bother to try to explain.
They make even less sense, yes.
Like the whole thing about, you're a Kaiser, you can rule the universe, you're one in a million, the hell with you. I don't understand. What are you doing?
That's right. Suddenly I can use all my superpowers that I didn't know I had, and I'm glowing like I'm in The Last Dragon.
Sure, because, you know, and I still absolutely love, I managed to escape somehow. It's literally the same from, like, the end of Hudson Hawk, where it's like, wait, you're alive? Can you believe it? Literally no explanation of all how Danny Aiello leaped out of the car that flew over the cliff and exploded. It's like, we're just not bothering. We don't
care. Airbags.
Can you believe it?
We're not even
going
to try anymore.
Sure. So is this the best Godzilla movie? I honestly think it goes on, even still, a little too long.
Yeah.
I would have cut about a half an hour out. But... I honestly, when I watch, especially for the show, when I watch comedies alone, I often don't laugh. I have this thing where I'd rather laugh with a group. And if I laugh out loud, to me, that's a real sign of something being funny, because I just don't laugh alone. I don't know why, but I don't. This show, I laughed alone a lot.
Yeah.
That may not have been its aim, but so what?
I don't think that was what it was trying, but yeah, that made it fun.
If I had been under the influence of something, I honestly don't know if I would have survived, because I don't know if I could have breathed.
I think you would have ruptured something.
And quite honestly, it was hella fun to talk about, because it was so stupid.
So dumb.
So two big votes for Godzilla Final Wars. Luckily, he'll be back, folks, in whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Max, you know what else will come back?
You know what also is question. Back? Yes. We want to know, who or what is the most fun giant monster, the most fun kaiju of any land?
Yeah.
And you can respond to us on our website at MaxMikeMovies.com. You can leave a comment. You can also email us at us@MaxMikeMovies.com. You can find us on Bockfarch.
Facebook.
Under Max Mike, whatever, Max Mike Movies.
Facebook.
We're also on
Facebook.
Blue Sky. And... we're also on Mastodon.
Mm.
We're also on every podcast app throughout time and space.
And meaning.
Itself. And meaning.
And what else can they do?
They can also call our super deluxe chocolatey covered hotline.
Yeah, win a date with Max.
Yeah. Oh, please, no, don't fight over me, no.
Yeah.
Don't fight a war.
I'll fight a war?
Don't fight the final war.
Oh, dear God, she's Japanese, too. Go ahead, Max. Tell them the number.
617-398-7266. Again, that is 617-398-7266. We await breathlessly. Yeah. But we're about halfway through
our,
oh no, a giant monster series. So how are you going to top Godzilla fight? Oh, why don't you just run a rake across a chalkboard? So why don't you tell us what could possibly follow Godzilla Final Wars?
Well, I am going to take a little left turn in the giant monster category because this one's arguable as whether it's a giant monster or not. Some people say that it kind of is. In fact, some people in the film say it kind of is, and some people say it kind of isn't. But it does is very large, and it does step on things, but it's also animated. Next week, we're going to watch a film that I have not seen, I don't think, since it came out, Iron Giant. Is Iron Giant, which is quite honestly, has a really interesting background to the making of the film, which starts with, of all people, Pete Townsend, if you can believe it. But
what?
Believe it or not, it is true. Ooh. But anyway.
Who?
Pete.
Took you a second, didn't it?
Yes. It's only because I was dulled by thinking about Godzilla Final Wars. And So next week, we're going to be discussing Iron Giant. Won't you Iron Giant with us?
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.